The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Well, let's start the insanity. Giddy up.
New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
Yes, Packers over the Lions 42-21. 2 weeks in a row of over 40 points. What year is it? We are two Schlitz to the wind here on the APC podcast from AcmePackingCompany.com and SB Nation, our instant recap show. The final whistle just minutes ago as we record this. Again, Packers 42, Lions 21 at Lambeau Field. I am Zach Rapport, at Zach Rapport on Twitter. Follow the show at the APC Pod on Twitter. And joining me with a cat just moments ago dancing across the screen is Evan Tex Western. How are you, man?
I'm good. It's been a long time since the Packers put up 40 burgers in two straight games. So this is a fun start to this season. I don't know that I expected it to go quite this well, but I'm enjoying this heartily at this point.
Feels good.
Yeah.
Feels good. You mentioned the two games in a row. Is that something? Do you have like a stat at the ready right now, or when's the last time they did that?
I think the last time they hit 40 in back-to-back games was 2014, which obviously was a year that turned out pretty good for this team. So over 1,000 total yards of offense through two games, and over 80 points scored. That'll play. That'll work.
That feels pretty good. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, 18 of 30 for 240 yards and two touchdowns, no interceptions. A little bit of, I guess, falling back down to earth, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. There was one or two plays where you saw some of the bad mechanics creep in. There was one deep throw off his back foot to Aaron Jones in the left, up the left side.
But he
got hurt by drops again today. I mean, there's at least five, maybe six, depending on, you know, how harshly you're judging these guys, balls that should have been caught that were dropped.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that alone, should have improved Rodgers' efficiency a little bit, but you still can't complain too much about 8 yards per attempt and a couple touchdowns and no picks.
Yeah, especially when you get a touchdown from my man. Big f***ing Bob. Another guy who had a drop, and then Rodgers kind of went back to him, which was good to see. MVS as well, kind of the same story as last week, a couple drops. Seemed to be being targeted by the Lions a couple times with some vicious hits, but Rodgers keeps going to him, finds him. I don't know. I love it.
It was good, and I think you saw a little bit of the run game that Matt LaFleur really, really wanted to get in play this year. With this game, I mean, Jones had just an absurd day with 168 yards on the ground and that big 75 yarder. But even so, even without that run, he was well over 5 yards a carry and almost would have hit 100 yards in the ground. So, and hell, Jamal Williams, where's this running been for the last 3 years? I mean, he had a couple of really nice big runs too. Looking a little more nimble than I feel like we're used to seeing him. So it was a fun, balanced offensive attack today.
Yeah, you mentioned Aaron Jones, 168 yards on 18 carries. That's 9.3 yards per carry with two touchdowns. But Jamal Williams, 8 carries, 63 yards, 7.9 yards. That'll do, to quote you earlier that'll play, I think you said.
and I mean, when Jones did it through the air too. I mean, he had four catches for 68 and a score. He had that one tremendous catch over one of the Lions cornerbacks up the right side. And he's that matchup nightmare that, I mean, he's going to get a new contract. I'm more convinced now than ever after the way he played these first two games, and especially today, that the Packers are probably going to pay him. But I think I'm trying to wrap my head around it and find a way to justify paying a running back a lot of money in this league.
Yeah.
And I think one way you can justify it is if you've got a guy like Jones who can do as many different things as he can, splitting out wide, playing, you know, lining up a receiver, being as big a factor in the passing game as he can be. I think that's you've got to be a multifaceted back to warrant that kind of money. And, you know, he's certainly picking up where he left off last year, showing that he can do that in the passing game.
Yeah. You mentioned the drops earlier. Jay Sternberger with a drop, and then didn't really see much of him for the rest of the game, it seemed like.
Yeah, I think he had a second drop on another play that got wiped out by penalty, too. So it was a rough stretch.
You worried about Sternberger at this point at all, or still just trucking along?
I mean, Tanyan had, a couple nice plays. That touchdown was a great route by him. I think the Packers just need their tight ends to do enough. But they need to just take advantage of the plays that are given to them. And that one to Sternberger, that drop that he did have, that was one of those beautifully designed kind of leak plays for the backside tight end on the play action. Yeah. And those are the kinds of plays where, you know, San Francisco gets a big play from like a George Kittle or even a Kyle Juszczyk on those kinds of plays. And yeah, Jason's got to make those easy catches because he could have turned upfield and picked up 20 yards on that one. So I'm a little worried. I think they'll keep him, you know, they'll keep running him out there, but for his sake, he's got to take advantage of those plays and show that he deserves to be on the field.
Yeah. One more thing I want to talk about on offense before we switch over to the defense is AJ Dillon not getting as much action as maybe we thought he might, or as much as some would like for such an early round draft pick, but maybe that's a smart play. I don't know. What do you think's going on there?
Yeah, I suspect that they're kind of easing him in to try to get him up to speed as far as the speed of the NFL game. And really, when you've got guys like Jones and Williams who are running the ball as effectively as they are, you don't really need to bring that third wheel in if you're splitting up the carries well. So I would imagine that you'll start to see a little more of Dillon as the weeks go along. He gets a little more up to speed, get a few more carries, a few more snaps, let him pitch in outside of garbage time, and then really be able to have three guys that you can lean on, you know, maybe over the last month and a half of the season.
Yeah. Switching over to the defense, it was kind of the tale of two halves on defense, which I guess is kind of a Pettine thing that we've seen in the past here. What do they do differently in the second half to kind of ice this game away?
They got a lead. I mean, is it cheating to say that it's as simple as that? I mean, this team seems set up to protect leads well, and that's what they did last year, right? When they can pin their ears back and rush the quarterback, good things are going to happen. It happened with the pick six in this game, another sack or two down the stretch. But yeah, I mean, early on when the Lions were able to kind of run whatever they wanted on offense, they ran it right down the Packers' throat. But the Packers getting that lead in the second quarter, being able to double up around halftime was just a massive, massive momentum shift. And that completely changes the calculus when Detroit had the ball.
Yeah, totally. And you glossed over it a little bit, but Chandon Sullivan getting a pick six. I got a shout out to Alex Patakis, who was set to join us on this recap, but the timing didn't work out. But Alex texted me during the game that Chandon Sullivan was a graduate of the Guy program. So he's not, just for anyone out there, I did get some Twitter action on this after the pick six. He's not Guy eligible anymore, but if he was your guy last year, he's your guy forever. So, you know, go Chandy, but a pick six. I mean, they got a player there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And he'd had a little bit of a rough, you know, first game and a half or so, but great job reading Stafford's eyes on that pick and then coming up with a nice pass deflection on the third down the very next drive to follow up that nice play with another one. But we got to give a shout out to Rashawn Gary for getting the pressure on the pick six that led to an early telegraph throw from Stafford. And then Gary, you know, pitching in with another sack and a half down the stretch in this game. I've been high on him all year. I thought he really needed that year of transition to the NFL. And I think you're starting to see him really blossom before our eyes. And if he can, you know, come up with games like this with both Smith still on the field and wreaking havoc the way they are, look out if the Packers can get out to a, you know, an 8 or 10 point lead at any point on anybody, because these guys are going to tear some things up.
Yeah. And it's almost a cliche at this point. I mean, a lot of defensive coaches talking about how sacks are not the end all be all stat as far as judging defense. And really it's about, you got to watch the film and see who is affecting the play, who's pressuring the quarterback. And Gary's definitely doing that a lot better this year than last year. That's for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. It'll be fun to see the pressure numbers in terms of his snap counts and his pressure rate today. Because, yeah, again, sack and a half plus that extra pressure on the pick six. I think he had another one in there somewhere. That'll play. That'll work.
Something that you were chatting about in the APC Slack chat that I wanted to call attention to. You noted that Za'Darius Smith had been playing over the nose a lot in this game as opposed to outside. Is that something you noticed then for the rest of the game? What do you think is going on there?
Yeah, I saw that early on, and it seemed like he was, you know, kind of playing that old Clay Matthews kind of rover position where he was all over the place. But it seemed like they had him lined up right over the middle, right over the center quite a bit in the first half. And I think that was probably an attempt to, you know, find a way to stop the run or slow down the run with Kenny Clark out. That's my guess between, you know, Clark not playing, just really not having a whole lot of extra bodies on the defensive line. My guess is that was Pettine's way of kind of trying to put a quality player right in the middle of the defense. And once they got into that, you know, all right, 2-score lead, second half mode, then they moved him back outside. It seemed like much more consistently and had him pressuring from the edge, which certainly, you know, worked out well. He ended up with a sack at one point in the second half too. So that may be just something to monitor in the next couple of weeks, especially in early game situations if Clark can't make it back the next week or two.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, speaking of Clark being out, Lancaster goes out at some point in this game. Did that look like a dirty play to you? It kind of did to me. I don't know.
I thought so. I mean, there were a bunch of them today from the Lions that I mentioned it too on Twitter. Are the Lions maybe the worst coach team in the NFL just based on all of their dumb and dirty penalties? I mean, there were back-to-back plays on safety Will Harris. He had the headhunting on MVS up the sideline, and then he had a horse collar tackle on Adams right before the touchdown at the end of the first half. You've got that one with Lancaster. One of the Lions' offensive linemen went diving at his ankle basically after the play was over and did get flagged for it, which is and it seemed like it could have been a lot worse. Lancaster thankfully came back because again, the Packers need all the bodies they can get there.
Yeah, they don't have much there behind him.
No, but there were several looked like really dumb penalties, and then a couple that bailed the Packers out with, you know, defensive holding calls and things on some third downs as well.
Yeah, let's just do a quick injury roundup here as we close out our rapid recap. But so Lancaster goes out, comes back into the game, thankfully. I heard on the broadcast Tyler Irvin went out. Did he come back in? What's the story there?
He didn't. We have no idea what happened there just yet, but he went out pretty late in the fourth quarter, and Josh Jackson was out there receiving a punt late in the game. So he didn't end up coming back. Corey Linsley, he stepped out late with a hand injury, I think. And then obviously the big one would be Devontae Adams, who was on the shelf for much of the second half with a hamstring issue. So fingers crossed that those guys will be able to work through it this week and get back for next week.
Indeed. And we will know more about that midweek, probably not before we record our Notable Nuggets episode in a couple days here. Tweet at us at the APC pod with your Notable Nuggets following this game. I think that's going to do it for our rapid recap, unless you have any other closing thoughts besides that'll play.
That's about it. Yeah. It's fun to watch this offense clicking. I think, Matt LaFleur is doing a great job with this team right now. And so it'll be next week's game is setting up to be a fun one with two of what look like the better teams in the NFC right now. So my hope is that Adams will be back, because I'd really rather not play the Saints shorthanded, missing, you know, the arguably the best offensive player or skill position player on offense.
Right.
So,
right.
Sounds like they'll still probably be without Michael Thomas. We'll see. But, yeah, fingers crossed that Adams is back.
Fingers crossed indeed. All right, that's going to do it for us. We are two schlitz to the wind here at the APC pod, wrapping up our rapid recap episode. Once again, the Packers over the Lions, 42-21. Keep it locked into acmepackingcompany.com for all the latest following the game, injury updates, all that fun stuff all week. And then we will be back with you in a couple days. Until then, keep your stick on the ice, guys. Go Pack, go.